It's always nice to say hello to radio friends, because I got some pretty loyal friends there across the country that were very nice to me through the years. And I'm awfully glad to have you come up to my office here. And by the way, that's Charlie's desk over there. As you see, he's got his own name there, and Top Banana. That's his own idea of Billy. My first experience was with in high school, answering roll calls for missing classmates, and then they discovered that, and then I got blamed for everything. And then, of course, I got Charlie in my senior year in high school, and I wouldn't have graduated from high school without Charlie, so I owe him a great deal.
Well, he helped you on all the exams, huh?
Yes. Well, no, my history teacher told me not to plan on graduating because I was so bad in medieval and modern history. Well, I was already booked for a show that summer, so I couldn't wait to get going, so a diploma wasn't very important. But then I went on a student recital after I got Charlie in about March, and I heckled all the teachers, you know, and my history teacher, her name was Miss Angel. I said, so I got Miss Angel for history. He said, don't let the name fool you. She grows horns at examination time. Then we picked on the principal, too, and so she kept me after class the next day and said, she didn't know I had this talent, and the world needs laughter more than it needs another history teacher. She would help me graduate, so.
Edgar Bergen had first come to the attention of American audiences on Rudy Valley's NBC Royal Gelatin Hour, December 17th, 1936. How could ventriloquism work on radio? Perhaps Rudy Valley himself put it best the night Bergen debuted.
Why? People have been asking me for the last 2 days. Why put a ventriloquist on the air? The answer is, why not? True, our ventriloquist, Edgar Bergen, is an unusual one, sort of Noel Coward or perhaps Fred Allen among ventriloquists. A dexterous fellow who depends more upon the cleverness and wit of his material than upon the believe-it-or-not nature of his delivery. At Elsa Maxwell's most recent Star Spangled Party, the local smart set went smartly mad over Mr. Bergen, and currently he is entertaining the white tie folks at the Rainbow Room. Mr. Bergen works with a dummy, several of them, in fact, but this one is a typical ventriloquist dummy, except that it is arrayed in top hat and tails. Just imagine the dummy, and take my word for it that both voices you will hear are owned and operated by just one man, Edgar Bergen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As Rudy told you, my friend here is arrayed in considerable splendor.
Yes, indeed, yes.
And now, young man, I would like to know why you're dressed in tails and top hat and monocle. There must be a story in back of all that.
Oh, there is, stranger?
Yes.
Oh, there is. There's a long story.
I imagine so.
A long story. And a dirty one, too.
I imagine so. Well, where did the money come from?
Oh, the Mazuma.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you.
I wish you would.
You see, my stepfather...
Yes?
He passed away.
I see.
And when he died, he left me 200 smackers.
Oh, he did. Yeah, I did. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your stepfather.
What's the matter? What did he do now?
No, I mean, passing away.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, yes.
Well, what about it? Well, I mean, it's sad.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was.
Yes.
Yes, it was sad, really.
Yes.
But then, on the other hand, 200 bucks ain't to be sneezed at either.
No, you're right. Well, tell me, is your mother living yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet, no. I see.
No, she isn't.
Well, what is the name, if I may ask?
The name?
Yes.
Now that I have money.
I see.
It's Denby.
Denby, oh, yes, Denby.
I'm one of the Fishwell Denbys.
Oh, I see.
One of the Walton on the Thames Fishwell Denbys. Oh.
Well, you must be from the other side.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
But way on the other side.
Yes.
Of the tracks.
I imagine so. You like it over in England?
Oh, it's simply marvelous.
I imagine so.
Yes.
Yes. Well, what do you like most of all?
I love to go grouse hunting in the Scottish uplands.
I see. Grouse hunting.
Yes. It's such fun shooting.
I suppose so.
Oh, yes. I go every autumnal.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you have any luck this fall shooting?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, fine.
The very first day out, I got 3 Cocker Spaniels.
Oh, you did?
And the second day, I got a horse.
A horse, yes.
And my host.
And your host, yes.
I don't miss a darn thing.
I know it is.
If it moves, I shoot.
I see.
Oh, it's good fun.
I imagine so.
Yes.
Well, young man, I don't believe you were grouse shooting.
You don't?
No. And I don't believe you were over in England.
Oh, come now. Don't be a twerp.
Well, I do.
You don't believe me?
I don't believe you.
Uh-huh.
And I don't believe your name is Denby.
Oh, you don't?
No.
That's embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
You don't believe me, huh?
I don't believe you.
Uh-huh. Well, heck, I tried.
Yes, I know. So what is it?
Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, I see.
But how could you tell?
Well, you see, Charlie, I am a mind reader.
Is that so?
Yes. And I am a student of psychic phenomena.
Oh, boo, boo, boo.
Yes.
The kid's clever.
Yes. Would you like a demonstration of my crystal reading?
Yes, I would. I'd enjoy it. Just a spot of it.
Yes. You see, I have a crystal here.
Yes, so you have.
Yes.
What does it do?
Well, you see, it helps me to focus my attention.
Uh-huh.
In order for me to give you a reading, I have to go into a trance.
Oh, must you?
Yes.
Well, I'll wait here. All right. But what does the crystal, the globule, what does it do?
Well, when I gaze into the crystal,
uh-huh,
everything goes out of focus.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to whirl round and round.
Is that so?
Yes.
Marvelous.
Yes. It's just like gazing into a whirlpool.
A whirlpool?
Yes.
What's a whirlpool?
What is a whirlpool?
Now, I ask you first.
All right. You have never seen a whirlpool?
No.
I see.
Awfully sorry.
Oh, that's all.
I never have, you know, actually.
I see.
Awfully sorry.
That's all right.
I hate myself for not having done it.
Oh, that's all
right. I feel a perfect care, don't you know?
Oh, that's all right. Well, if you haven't, then of course you haven't.
Well, that's the way I feel about it.
Yes.
I will say this, though. Not so long ago, I fell in a pool.
Oh, you fell in a pool?
Yes.
But it wasn't a whirlpool?
No. I didn't. Awfully sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
It was a cesspool. I was sorry for that, too.
I imagine. But my good young man, that is neither here nor there.
No, that was up in Connecticut.
Oh. Well, now, what would you like to have me tell you about the future while I have the crystal here?
Yes. Would you tell me if there's any work in sight?
Any work?
Yes.
You're interested in a position?
Mildly, yes.
I see. Well, yes, Charlie, I do see a position here.
Oh, goody, goody, goody.
Yes. I suppose you would like to know something about the nature of this work?
Yes, I would.
Yes. And something about the future of the position?
Yes, I would, yes. And something about the salary, too.
The salary, yes. Of course there is the salary.
Well, I hope so, yes.
Yes. Well, the salary, it would be a small starting salary.
A small starting salary.
Yes.
Mm. But it will start.
Oh, it will start, yes.
Could you say how small?
Well, no, I can't say that.
They don't make money that small.
Yes. But I'm sure they will pay you what you're worth.
Yeah, well, I would be interested in that kind of money.
Oh, I see. But I'm afraid the position won't do you much good.
Why, what's the matter?
Well, it seems that your cocktail parties interfere with your work.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
It looks very bad, young man.
Oh, well, I never overdo those things.
Oh, you don't?
No, I never take more than 4 or 5 scotch and sodas.
4 or 5 scotch and sodas?
Yeah, that's all. That's all. That's all.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
Why, I should think 4 or 5 scotch and sodas would make you awfully drunk.
Yeah, well, it helps. It helps.
Don't you know, young man, that alcohol...
Yes?
Alcohol, it's nothing but slow poison.
Is what?
It's slow poison.
Is that so?
Yes.
Slow poison?
That's what it is.
Slow poison.
Yes.
Well, I'm in no hurry.
Well, then...
Five months later, NBC gave Bergen his own show Sundays at 8 p.m. He was an instant smash hit.
I copied him from a little Irish newsboy in front of the high school building. And he was a real mick, you know, cocky little funny, and I used to kid with him. And so I guess there are Irishmen that look like him. But Mortimer Snerd, I have people say they know somebody who sounds and looks like Mortimer Snerd, so that's not quite as good a compliment, I guess.
Well, were you the first of the big-time ventriloquist in vaudeville at that particular time, Edgar?
Well, no. We never had more than four or five ventriloquists in the country, even in vaudeville days. But there was the great Lester, and he was a great ventriloquist, and then there was a chap named Valentine Vox, and then we'd have a fellow from Spain, Senior Wences, who's still around. He's very good. But I just happened to get on radio and be at the right place at the right time.
Don Amici worked with Bergen in those years. He was MC on December 12, 1937, when Mae West was the guest of honor for an innuendo-heavy skit called Adam and Eve.
I remember the Mae West episode. My goodness, I should say I do. I almost got thrown off the air for life because of a skit. The name of the sketch was Adam and Eve, I think was the name of it, and Arch Obler wrote it. Arch later became a very famous scriptwriter, radio scriptwriter. It had been done before on the air, and I was worried about many of the words that were in the script, so I called Danny Danker, who was then the head of J. Walter Thompson, and Danny came down nearly, as I remember, sometime around 11, 11:30 at night. And I told Danny that I said, all these lines have got to come out, Danny, or I'm not going to do the show tomorrow because I'm frightened of it. Mm-hmm. So Danny said, you stay here. I was downstairs. And Danny went upstairs and spent the time with May and came back down and said, go home, go to sleep. Everything is out. I said, fine, thank you, Danny, and went home. And the next day I came down and we did the show. And while I'm introducing her, I can see her, you know, preening and getting all set for this thing. And she didn't put any of the lines back in. And she read them in the regular Mae West style, which was fine by me, and then did a skit with Charlie McCarthy. Now, that skit, I remember distinctly walking over to have something to eat with Edgar between rehearsal and showtime, and I said, Ed, I think you're crazy for saying all these things you're saying. He said, well, what am I going to do now? It's this time already. Uh-huh. I said, well, I don't know, Ed, but I said, I'm really fighting for you. Well, the furor came not over any of the double entendre or the innuendos or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was over. They claimed making fun of the Bible. Uh-huh. And this was what started it all. And, oh, my, it got to be a real ruckus. It went to the House of Congress. Went
it
that
did.
Far.
Hmm? But what they, was the ultimate
They ruled
conclusion?
Her off. Ruled her off. Throughout supposedly the air. For life, yes. Yeah.
Over the next six seasons, his show was never rated lower than fourth. Twice, it was the country's top program. On April 9, 1944, Bergen's rating was 27.1. Roughly 20 million people were tuned in live, coast-to-coast from WEAF in New York, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific over KFI. This is that entire Easter Sunday broadcast.
Especially for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations, it's the Charlie McCarthy Show, a special rebroadcast starring Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble's orchestra, Ernie Newton in the chorus, Bill Goodwin, our 14-year-old singing star Jane Powell, and Charlie's guest of the evening.
Ray Noble and his orchestra, together with Ernie Newton and the chorus, lend their talents to that popular new ballad, You're the Dream, I'm the Dreamer.
You're the dream, I'm the dreamer. You're the dream that I hope will come true. I tell myself just how wonderful you are. Then ask myself, am I reaching for a star? You're the wind that I cling to. Every wish that I make is for you. To know you love me would complete my every scheme. I'm the dreamer, you're the dreamer.
I'm a dreamer. you still with us?
What do you mean, still with you?
Well, after that letter I read last week, I kind of thought you'd take the hint and, you know...
Oh, now, wait a minute. If you think I'm quitting just because you wrote a phony letter...
Then why did you read the commercials on your knees?
Now, listen here, small fry. Yeah. If you were a man instead of a little squirt, we'd settle this on the field of honor.
Where would you get the honor?
Oh, all right.
Why, you know, for 2 cents, Goodwin, for 2 cents, I'd pop you one...
Charlie, just a moment. I'd sneer... Charlie, just a moment.
What?
Aren't you behaving rather cheaply?
You're right, Bergen. You're right. You're right. Why, Goodwin, for 10 cents, I'll pop you one...
I don't see why you two fellas can't get along.
Well, gee whiz, Ed, forging letters to get me fired is a little too much.
Well, but we know it was only a gag, Bill, so let's forget it, huh?
All right, all right.
I wish we could. It's too bad we can't, fellas.
I know.
She's a dangerous critter.
I know.
But I can't win her. I'm riding for a fall. Dootin' up like I wasn't wise to the gal. With the big, with the big, with the big blue.
Powell, aren't you going to sing for us today?
Yes. I have a song by Jerome Kern.
Mm.
It's I've Told Every Little Star.
Oh, I'd like that.
I've told every little star just how sweet I think you are.
Well, Hello, Mr. Bergen. Hello, Miss Powell.
Gee, it's good to see you.
Yeah?
But I thought you were going to be here last week.
Be here.
Be here last week.
Well, oh, you mean on the program?
Yes, of course.
Well, I thought so, too. But I was just as disappointed as you were when I listened in and I wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you're all dressed up.
Yeah.
You certainly look smart.
Mm?
You look so smart.
Oh, well, don't let that fool you. Underneath, I'm just as stupid as I ever was. I told her.
Yeah, you told her.
Yes, Mortimer, she means it in your striped trousers and cutaway coat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, you know what a bunny is, don't you?
Well, sure.
Well, what is it?
Well, it's a... Well, bunnies, well, it's a... Well, it's just a... Well, it's a sort of, kind of like a donkey in front.
A donkey in front.
And a powder puff behind.
Oh.
Well, anyway, Mortimer, I think you're awfully cute in your new outfit.
Well, thank you, Mom.
And you're even wearing a waistcoat.
What?
Waistcoat.
Yeah.
Waistcoat.
What?
What is that underneath your coat?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I think we'll all agree that you are a vision of sartorial elegance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a mess, all right.
I bet they took your picture.
Yeah, they snapped it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they said they was going to run it in the road of gravy.
In the what?
That's what they said.
No, they didn't say that.
I heard a man.
No, no.
He had no reason to lie to me.
Well,
he said it.
No, he didn't.
Were you there?
No.
You weren't there?
I wasn't there.
It was the road of gravy.
No. Not the road of gravy. Road of what?
Road of bicycle?
No, no.
Road of beggar?
No.
Turnips,
broccoli. Oh, stop. How can you be so stupid?
Well, it ain't something you pick up overnight.
No.
You've got to work on it, you know. Oh.
Well, will you please be quiet now while Jane sings? You're lovely to look at. Hmm? You're lovely to look at.
Well, you're pretty cute yourself.
No, no, no.
Go ahead, sing, Jane, please.
Lovely to look at, delightful to know, heaven to kiss. A combination like this is quite my most impossible scheme come true. Imagine me finding a dream like you. You're lovely to look at, it's thrilling to hold you terribly tight. The moon is new, and oh, it's lovely to look at you tonight.
Lovely to look at, delightful to know.
heart goes bumpity bump, it's love, love, love. Pardon me.
Charlie.
Huh?
You sound very happy. What are you singing about?
Why shouldn't I sing, Bergen? I have health, good looks, and talent.
Yes, and Charlie, you've got me.
Yeah, maybe you're right. What am I singing about?
Now, Charlie, will you please be on your very best behavior today? For our guest is a handsome actor and a very likable gentleman.
Do tell.
Yes. And you would do well to pattern yourself after him.
Well, who's the name, please? Who's the name?
The name is Ray Milland.
Oh!
Hello, Edgar.
Yes. Charlie, you remember Ray Milland? We saw him in Lady in the Dark.
Oh, Charlie, did you see Lady in the Dark?
Did I? I'm the guy who put the lights out. Oh, no.
I thought those dream sequences in the picture were simply beautiful.
Yes, Edgar, they were. The way they used that artificial fog was very effective.
Yes, it certainly was. As a matter of fact, it was so foggy in the theater I went that the ushers carried foghorns instead of flashlights. Oh, no.
Well, personally, it reminded me of Ladies' Night in the Turkish Bath.
Oh, you do get around, don't you?
Well, what do you mean? I didn't mean that.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, yeah. Well, Ray, how did they produce that artificial fog?
Well, you see, Edgar, it was a very ingenious device.
Was it now?
Yes.
Technical, huh?
Yes, technical.
Well, tell us.
Well, all right, leave me alone.
Yeah.
You see, they made a lot of holes in the floor, and then the smoke came up through the holes.
Mm-hmm.
You might say it was, holy smoke.
A quipster, eh?
Well, I liked the picture because the plot was novel.
Well, I didn't get it. Ginger Rogers was supposed to be sick, so she goes to the doctor, but he didn't give her any pills, though.
Well, Charlie, you see, Ginger Rogers was mentally sick.
Oh, she was. What was it that made ginger ale?
No. Charlie, that doctor specialized in psychoanalysis.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Ginger Rogers was suffering from bicycle calluses?
No. Charlie, psychoanalysis refers to the methods of detecting the source of mental difficulties by delving into the patient's neurotic hallucinations.
We're back in that old fog again.
Yeah. Ray, you seem to speak with authority on the subject, though.
Well, psychiatry's always been one of my hobbies, Edgar.
Well, Mr. Milland, have you ever thought of being a doctor?
No, Charlie, no, I haven't.
Why?
Well, medicine has always been distasteful to me.
Yeah. You've done it again.
Yes, I said it, and I'm glad I said it.
Oh, you mad thing, yeah. You.
Well, but I am interested in psychoanalysis,
yeah,
and all types of psychiatry and psychiatrics.
Is that so? Goodness. Yeah. Well, you've convinced us that you can say it. But can you tell us what it means?
Certainly, my little man. First of all, a psychiatrist divides the brain into three parts.
Isn't that rather messy?
I can do without your interruptions.
Oh, as you want to know.
Yes.
I can do without your explanations.
Oh, all right.
Yes,
Adam,
yes, sure.
Well, anyway, psychiatry tells us that very few of us really know how to use our brain.
Uh-huh, yes, I believe it's true, too.
Hmm.
It's too bad it doesn't come with a set of instructions.
Yes, yes. Well, you see, the... Right, yes. Well, you see, Charlie, the makeup of the human mind determines one's whole personality.
Yeah.
You are what you think you are.
Mr. Milland, there is no need to be insulting.
Oh, yes.
Charlie, haven't you read Freud or Nietzsche?
Freud, I avoid.
And Nietzsche?
He's peachy.
Isn't that a little reachy?
Oh, let's stop it.
Yes, please.
Say, isn't it true that psychiatrists attach a great deal of importance to our dreams?
Oh, yes, indeed. Charlie, wouldn't you like to know what your dreams mean?
I don't care what they mean. I just want their phone numbers.
Yeah. You're earthy, aren't you?
Huh? Yes.
You know, Charlie, if I could talk to you for just half an hour, I could draw out your real personality.
You could do that, could you?
Yes.
Actually draw out my personality.
Actually.
Marvelous. Now, if I don't like it, can you push it back in again?
I shall not dignify that with an answer.
Oh, you can't think of a topper, huh?
All right.
Now, listen, you curly birch commando.
Yeah.
You know, you had a very interesting case.
Yes.
Tell me, as a boy, did you have any phobias?
No, sir, no, I didn't. I was a very poor boy.
Oh, that's very sad.
I only had a dog and a goldfish. They died. I fed them too much. Oh, no.
Well, once you free yourself of your neurotic inhibitions,
What then?
Well, then you'll be your old self again.
Mm.
Of course, in your case, that's not much to look forward to.
I'll thank you.
Well, now to get back to your dreams, Charlie.
I don't need your opinion.
It's all right. Charlie, please. They are your dreams, Charlie. They are the golden keys of the mind which unlock a person's subconscious.
You weaver of words, you.
Yeah.
I still don't see how a doctor could do anything by just listening to your dreams. I don't. How do it work?
Well, it's really quite simple. Now, let us suppose that I am a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Just suppose.
Yes. Well, you're the doctor,
That's
all right?
Fine.
Well, let's suppose. I'm sorry.
Now, and you're the patient. And you come to my office.
Yes, yes, that's right. You know, you've been highly recommended to me, too.
Oh, Natch.
Yes.
And to make it more interesting, let us suppose that you are a girl, huh?
Why, you old rascal, you. You're so earthy. All right. What kind of a girl am I like?
Oh, you're a beautiful girl.
Oh, you're flattering me.
No,
really, I'm not actually beautiful, but I do have loads of personality. Well, here I come. Is it that late? Oh, doctor.
Oh, how do you do, madam?
How do you do, doctor?
You always yodel like that?
Don't you recognize good acting when you hear it?
Yes, when I hear it.
Oh. Doctor, you're just simply toot-toot-toot-toot.
Well, what's all that toot-toot-toot-toot?
My dress has a train on it. Oh.
Yeah. Well, tell me, what's your trouble?
Well, I'm a very nervous woman.
Oh? Hmm? Do you have an appointment?
Oh, dear, no. I'm too nervous to make one.
Oh, hey. Madam, I see you have an inhibition.
Good heavens, is that old thing showing again?
Anyway, won't you sit down and take off your coat?
You lay a hand on me and I'll slug you. Oh.
Just sit down and we'll take a trip into the inner recesses of the subconscious.
How exciting. Shall I pack a lunch?
Oh, no, just a short trip. Now tell me, madam, do you blush easily?
Oh, doctor. Do you know a snappy one? No.
No. Just relax. I want you to tell me everything.
Yes, doctor. Are we alone?
Yes, except for the cat.
Oh. Well, you better put him out. They carry tails, you know.
Oh.
To get back to my case.
Yes, please.
Doctor, I feel so terribly, so horribly alone.
Oh, and how long have you felt this way?
Ever since I poisoned my husband.
Oh, yes. Now, you just calm yourself and tell me, did you dream last night?
Yeah, I dreamt I was married to the handsomest man in the world.
Oh, and were we happy?
Doctor, you're utterly impossible, but utterly.
Oh, too utterly.
This is a sheer waste of my time, that's all.
All right. We'll just stop this fooling around now, and I shall give you a complete diagnosis.
I don't want a diagnosis.
You don't?
No.
What'd you come in here for?
I just want to know if you want to sell your typewriter.
Somewhere
up like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you
This is a lovely way to spend an evening.
This is a lovely way to spend an evening. Can't think of anything I'd rather do. Of anyone as lovely as you. A casual stroll through a garden, a kiss by a lazy lagoon, catching a breath of moonlight, calming our favorite. Lovely way to spend an evening. I want to save all my nights and spend.